You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
Quantum mechanics, general relativity, superfluids, nanomechanical devices. That was a fantastic discussion by Corinne and Keith, but it just goes to show how specialized and technical the language of physics has become. We do our best on the podcast to cut through the jargon, but there are others who go much further. Astrophysicist Roberto Trotta of Imperial College London has written a whole book called Edge of the Sky, in which he describes the universe using only the 1,000 most common words in the English language, which was published by Basic Books in 2014 to critical acclaim, or perhaps we should say to high serious approval.
Is that much simpler? I'm not sure, yeah. But okay.
Our reporter, Sophie Ebden, went to meet him to find out what all the fuss is about in as simple terms as possible, of course.
So I'm here at Imperial College's Blackett Laboratory to meet Roberto Trotta. You're a senior lecturer in astrophysics and also an experienced science communicator and author, to talk about your new book, Edge of the Sky. So can you tell us a little bit about what the idea of it is?
The Edge of the Sky is a radical experiment in science communication, at least the way I see it. Mm-hmm. I try to convey everything we know, and especially what we don't know about the universe, using only the most common 1,000 words in English.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't even include the word 1,000?
No, it doesn't include the word 1,000, it doesn't include the word universe. So the very first question is, how do you talk about the universe without ever using the word universe? I thought this was a very good way of forcing me to communicate my science in as simple as possible terms and getting rid of jargon and really leveling the playing field so that everybody can enjoy and get involved into what I think are fundamental questions of reality. Where does the universe come from? What is its fundamental nature? What are all the things that we still want to find out about what the universe is made of and where it is going in the future? So The Edge of the Sky tries to convey not just the answers to all of those questions, but also the sense of marvel and amazement at the fact that we can see all the things and can, to an extent, understand them.
Yeah, and the result is quite poetic, actually, I think, as I was reading it. It did feel quite magical, the way you describe it, because you're using such simple words. The science terminology does end up getting quite poetic. So you call the universe the...
all there is.
And scientists...
student people.
So you tell the story through the eyes of a female protagonist. So why did you choose her?
It was a very natural choice for me to choose a woman as my main character. The story of the book follows student woman as she goes out one night to seek the help of Big Sear, one of the largest telescopes on Earth, to unlock the mysteries of dark matter. And so when I sat down and started writing the story, that character just came to my mind fully formed. In retrospect, there are many reasons why I think I chose her, and perhaps the most obvious and the one that's certainly very close to my heart is the fact that we don't have enough women in science, particularly in physics, especially at senior level. The numbers drop off very sharply, unfortunately. If that can inspire perhaps a few young women to go into science, or just break this stereotype that all scientists are men, bald, middle-aged and white, if that can help bring in some diversity and enhancing the numbers of women in science, then I'd be happy.
In terms of the writing process, what was it like? Did you like write it with your 1,000-word lexicon in front of you, or how did it work?
I discovered very early on that the way this worked was by thinking in this new language. So it wouldn't work if I tried to write the story in normal English and then translate it. You have really to get into the mindset of the language. Just like when you speak a foreign language, after a while you become fluent in it and you start thinking in that language. It was a very similar process. And so once I got to that stage, then it became much easier for me to write in this very reduced Spartan lexicon that I'd given myself. And so I didn't need to check so much anymore which words were allowed and which weren't. Yeah. Technically, the way I did it was to write a small computer code that would check my writing for me to make sure that I didn't, didn't make any mistakes.
And did you have a lot of editing to do, or was it?
Yes. I sometimes feel that the last 10% took 90% of the effort.
Yeah.
Because the book reads as a very simple text, but it was anything but effortless to put together, and so it hides lots of work.
And what's the reaction been like?
It's been very enthusiastic and surprisingly positive, as I must say. This is a science book unlike any other science book in a sense, because it doesn't fall squarely into any box of science communication or popular science. But precisely because of that reason, it turned out to appeal to people who wouldn't necessarily read your astronomy, popular science book, or cosmology, for which there's a plethora of very good examples out there. But because it plays with language, people who are interested in language have picked up the book and read it for that reason. And in doing so, I'm sure some of the science, some of the ideas have rubbed off them, and they perhaps have gotten excited about the science that I was talking about. And so I was very pleased to see that the book has found its way to very unexpected corners of the universe, as it were.
What was the hardest thing to write about?
The early universe.
The early universe. With all the different drops. You call the particles drops, don't you?
And that's right.
Mirror drops and sister drops. And
very small drops, etc. And so I had lots of difficulty, first of all, coming up with a zoo of drops that I was happy with in describing the science in an accurate fashion. But also I didn't have words like energy or velocity or speed or particle I didn't have. And so all the things are very, very important for the early universe. I didn't have any of them. So it was a real challenge to come up with a description that I was happy with.
I wanted to also ask you about the haikus.
Mm-hmm.
Did you write these when you wrote the rest of the text, or were they kind of an addition later? Or?
In my head, at least, they came about as a way of doubly condensing what I wanted, the story that I wanted to try to tell. In other words, there are 10 chapters in the book, and so if you take all the 10 haikus, that's 30 lines, and if you put them all together, you get what I believe is a very condensed, very concise picture of the entire universe in just 63 different words. Now, whether this works or not, that's a different matter, but it attempts to do just that, to give you a very condensed version of what each chapter is about.
So are you a bit of a fan of haikus?
Yes, a little bit. Yes, I'm very stimulated by the fact that they not only require, they demand your active participation. They're not enough. They're very impressionistic in a way, and so you have to fill in the gaps. And it is precisely this active participation on the part of the reader that I was seeking to engage. I'm trying to depict the universe in a way that is as accurate as possible, but equally leaves enough room, or as much room as possible, for the reader's imagination. And that's exactly the place where I want my readers to go, that makes sense for them.
Are you promoting the book this summer?
Yes.
What kind of things are you doing to promote it?
I'm doing a number of events. I just came back from the Talkie Festival in Dublin, a book festival, which was a very nice experience for me. And then I'm going to the Guadalajara Book Festival in Mexico in November, which should be nice. It's one of the largest festivals in Latin America, so promoting the book there.
Has it been translated then?
It's been translated in German. The German edition will come out in September, and there is a Korean edition that's coming, and we're working on other translations as well. And also the Italian translation, because having Italian origins, although I grew up in Switzerland, and Italian being my mother tongue, I would be very excited and to see an Italian version of the book. It would be a project that would be very close to my heart.
Thank you to Roberto Trotta for speaking with Sophie Hebden there. It sounds like if you're looking for a book to add to your holiday wish list, you could do well to consider Edge of the Sky. On the podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast, you can also view a video about Trotter and his book, made by Lucina Melissio Friedman, called The All There Is, which won a prize in our video contest last year.
And that's all we have time for today, so thank you to Andrew Ponson, Frank Drake, Keith Schwab, Green Pikama, Roberto Trotta, and Sophie Hebden.
He's been Brendan Foster.
And she's been Zia Morali.
I'm off to hunt for alien life.
And I'm going to accelerate to the equivalent of 100 million times Earth's gravity. I hope I do not get motion sickness.